Call to order municipality of the District of St. Mary's regular council meeting today is Wednesday, May 20th, 2026. It is 5:04 PM. Can I have roll call, please?
Warden Fuller.
Here.
Deputy Warden Malloy.
Here.
Counselor Beaver.
Here.
Counselor O'Connell.
Here.
Counselor Thibault.
Regrets. Before you, you have the agenda for tonight's meeting. Are there any additions to the agenda? I would like to add one item, if I may, under other matters of business. 10D, just a brief statement about the situation with Shoppers Drug Mart in Sherbrooke. With that addition, I have a motion to approve the agenda as.
Absolutely.
Counselor O'Connell.
Second.
Counselor Beaver. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The agenda is approved. Before you have the agenda or the minutes for the council meeting held on Wednesday, April 15th, 2026. Are there any additions or errors or amendments to those minutes? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Before you have the minutes of the annual general meeting held on April 27th, 2026. Are there any errors or omissions? Hearing none, those minutes are approved. Also, before you have minutes of the special council meeting held on April 27th, 2026. Are there any errors or omissions?
There's one word that needs to be changed. Instead of as amended, it would be as presented on item four.
Are there any other errors or omissions? Hearing that, could I have a motion for approve the minutes or the minutes of the special council meeting 2027 as amended?
I'll make the motion for approval as amended.
Counselor Beaver, Counselor O'Connell. All those in favor?
Aye.
Those minutes are approved. Before you, we have several items of correspondence. One is from the 12-month notice provided provincial changes impacting budget, and that is from the Municipal Affairs Office of the Minister. Has everybody had a chance to look at this?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. We also have the Road Infrastructure Management Master List. Is that Excel worksheet? Any comments or statements about the master list?
I have one. The bridge works, but I don't see anything on there with bridge work. Is that perhaps on a different list that we know of?
It is not on this list. And if I recall correctly, correctly, when Mr. Pitts was here, he said it was not on the immediate repair list, but they're looking towards it with no definite date. I think, I have to go back to look, yeah. It was in the 5-year plan.
Okay, specifically the Archibald's Brook
Bridge. Yeah, that is, we've pointed that out to them several times.
Yeah. Okay, thanks.
Okay, before you have two from the Cruiser reports, one from March 2026 and one from April 2026. Looks like our assigned officers have been pretty busy. Which moves us to number 8, recommendations from committees of council. The first one is from the IDEAA committee, the inclusion plan approval. That was from April 10th. On the recommendation of Anna Ruiz and seconded by Sheena Cameron, council approved the municipality of the District of St. Mary's 2026-2028 Inclusion Plan. Motion to accept that recommendation.
I'll make that.
Deputy Warden Malloy. All those in favor?
Aye.
From Committee of the Whole of April 15th, 2026, on the recommendation of Deputy Warden Malloy and seconded by Council Bieber, council approve the transfer of any municipal operating surplus for the 2025-26 fiscal year to the Municipal Capital Reserve Fund and the Fire Services Reserve equally. Council O'Connell?
Second.
Seconded by Council Bieber. All those in favor?
Aye.
That is approved. From the Committee of the Whole meeting, May 6th, 2026, on the recommendation of Deputy Warden Malloy, seconded by Council O'Connell, council approve the purchase of the F-150 regular cab truck from Highland Ford at a price of $55,000 plus HST to be funded through the 26-27 capital budget. Motion to approve that recommendation.
I'll make that motion.
Deputy Warden Malloy, a second?
Seconded.
Seconded by Council Bieber. All those in favor?
Aye.
That recommendation is approved. Motion is approved. On recommendation of Councilor Thibault, seconded by Council O'Connell, council award Straight Engineering Limited the design of the west side water main replacement at a cost of $30,875 plus HST to maintain reliable water distribution to the west side and help promote growth to our community funded from the Housing Accelerator Fund Program. I have a motion to approve. Move to approve. Council O'Connell?
Seconded.
Seconded by Council Bieber. All those in favor?
Aye.
On the recommendation of Council O'Connell, seconded by Council Thibault, council recommend approval of the CAO to be authorized to enter into an agreement with Clean Foundation to provide project management and oversight for that project. Motion to approve that.
So moved.
Council Bieber?
I'll second.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
On the recommendation of Deputy Warden Malloy, seconded by Council O'Connell, council approve transferring $63,739 in LCC program grant funding to the Clean Foundation to manage as part of that project. Motion to approve. Council O'Connell, second?
I'll second.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
Last but not least, the recommendation of Deputy Warden Malloy and seconded by Council Thibault, council recommends attendance of up to two members of council with mileage expense to be reimbursed for those attending the Strengthening Municipal Partnerships Community Challenge in the St. of X Research Solutions on May 27th as agreed by council consensus. Motion to approve that.
I'll so move.
Council Bieber?
I'll second.
Council O'Connell, all those in favor?
Aye.
For the councils who want to go, please let them know.
Yeah, we had an email from them, I think, looking to see if there was anyone coming.
Respond to that would be great.
We have the RSVP, so I'm not sure. Scott, are you?
I'm not sure yet.
Am I expressed interest?
Just figure it out.
Yeah.
I sent to him an email, so do you want me to touch base with him to confirm or? Between three of us, one of us will go.
Yeah.
Okay.
Let them know.
Yeah.
Okay. Outside committee reports. On the Guysborough County Home Care Support Agency from February 26th. 26. Any questions to Council O'Connell regarding that report? There are none. We have a report from Council O'Connell from again. 27th of February, sorry about that, 27th of February, 26th, from the Sherbrooke Restoration Commission. Any questions regarding his report? Very thorough concern. And before you have a report from the Guysborough Adult Learning Association, Questions on that brief report? And moving on, a report from the SMARTGO meeting, April the 14th, 2026. No? Okay. We'll move on to number 10. Other matters of business and the Remo introduction, Director of Emergency Services. I'll let you do the introduction there, Leslie.
Thank you, Warden. So we're very happy to be joined today by two folks relating to emergency management. So our new Director of Emergency Services, Kelsey Reese, and she started on April 14th. And so she's here, she's going to do, you know, just give us a little bit of an overview of what she's been doing for the last month and what is looking, what's coming ahead. And we're also able to be joined by Sean McLaughlin, and I can't remember your exact title, Regional Operations Manager with Department of Emergency Management.
Yeah.
And he's a support to us as well, but from the provincial side, and a great support in the last year before we had Kelsey's position filled, so it was great. But we'd like to just offer Kelsey a moment to introduce herself and tell us a little bit about what's been going on. And then if Sean has anything to add, that'd be great too.
So my name is Kelsey, originally from Southern Ontario, moved out here in 2011 and kind of been out here ever since. Spent my career as a paramedic and a volunteer firefighter, mostly in Guysborough County, Guysborough and Canso area. So I started here April 14th, as Leslie had mentioned. Basically, from then until now, I've been going through familiarizing myself with all the responsibilities and roles that I'm going to be assigned, including emergency management plan, flood plans, wildfire, drought, etc. Meeting with Department of Emergency Management, as well as a lot of our other stakeholders, learning like the alert ready protocol with the pins and all that kind of when we were going to need it. Worked on a shared services agreement and the bylaw, which will be ready in the coming weeks. It's at the solicitors right now for review. Working on a bunch of training opportunities, so ICS 300 next month, an ACC course through the Department of Emergency Management, as well as a few courses through a university or a college in Ontario, just to get up to date on some emergency management procedures. We'll be attending the wildfire preparation event in Goshen on Saturday, May 23rd, just to meet with local firefighters and, you know, get involved in the community. And I'm looking forward to working with all of you guys. So, any questions?
Well, it's certainly exciting to have you here in the position to meet you.
Thank you.
Very excited.
Thank you.
Hey, Kelsey, one question.
Yep.
One question here with regards to the Nova Scotia Guard.
Yep.
Do you interface with Nova Scotia Guard, and will you be connecting up with that organization?
So, yeah, with Nova Scotia Guard, we get them through the Department of Emergency Management. I do have a meeting with them, I believe, next week. One of their outreach officers, Caitlin, and the Nova Scotia Guard rep are coming down to have a meeting with myself and just introduce ourselves and kind of get more of the community involved in the Nova Scotia Guard and, you know, do outreach to the community so that they know that this exists, and if they want help, that's the one way that they can. I don't know if you want to add anything.
I'll start from the top. And are you, yeah, more to say?
Go for it.
Yeah. I'm Sean McLaughlin. I'm originally from Kent County, and much like Kelsey, I spent most of my professional career as a paramedic. We actually worked together for some time. Then I joined the Department of Emergency Management. So I look after all of Region 2, which is Pictou, Antigonish, Guysborough, and St. Mary's. So it's quite a big region. Pretty much do everything on the provincial side for emergency management, working closely with the REMOs and the emergency management coordinators in each one of those municipalities. A lot of my time lately has been consumed with helping municipalities get their REMOs stood up. Some were already established, some are new REMOs like you guys here, and helping them get their bylaws and service agreements and whatnot in place. That's what I did all morning today, actually, in Pictou County, doing the exact same thing. So they are in the same spot you guys are. Nobody's further ahead or behind anybody. Everybody's on the same page. So we're just trying to get those REMOs stood up. I have an employee that works underneath me. Caitlin Power is her name, and her title is Regional Outreach Officer. And what she does is basically community outreach. So she'll go out into all the communities within Region 2 and speak to seniors clubs, Lions clubs, any type of public engagement setting that we can get her into to talk about alerting the Nova Scotia Guard, all the different volunteer opportunities and ways to make themselves, make the community more resilient to emergencies and help get everybody up to snuff on that. And but yeah, that's pretty much her role and our role. And if there was ever, you know, a major incident, then you would likely see me working alongside Kelsey and supporting her and her counterparts in the event of a major emergency. And if there was ever provincial assistance needed, that's where I would come in and start to ramp things up that way to get the help that we need. For your question on the Nova Scotia Guard. Yeah, so Caitlin is our best resource for that. And we do have about 1,500 volunteers across Nova Scotia right now. They have three different levels, level one through level three. And we're really just at the level one mark where they're just straight up volunteers. They have all kinds of different skill sets. And when they volunteer at the Nova Scotia Guard, when they fill out their intake form, they indicate what kind of special skills they have, whether it's cooking or maybe they're a machinist or somebody who can run a chainsaw, things like that. So we were able to quickly pull, depending on what the incident is, if we need people that are good at cutting trees down with chainsaws, we'll be able to quickly see who in the Nova Scotia Guard we can activate and pull from those resources. The Nova Scotia Guard is more of a day two and day three of an incident. They're not like first responders where we have something that's happening right now and we're going to call in the Nova Scotia Guard. There's a little bit more planning to it and a little bit more preparation to make sure we're picking the right people and employing them and have accommodations and all that type of thing. So it's more of a day two, day three thing, but very active. Their first deployment was for the Jack and Millie search in Pecos County, and then they were very active at our wildfires in Dalhousie and Lake George, where we had them doing everything from cooking, cleaning, setting up cots, traffic control, a wide range of things. Very active and very engaged group of individuals.
For the wildfire event on Saturday, I'll have some paperwork from Caitlin and stuff on the Nova Scotia Guard, as well as like Nova Scotia Alert and stuff to hand out as well.
You'll be signing up people as they come in at the hospital.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. More volunteers, the better.
Yeah.
You want to say something, Lizzie? You're aiming at the
mm-hmm. I was. I just wanted to say that Kelsey's been able to be here quite a bit already, mm-hmm. and I think getting to know and meet with all the different staff, mm-hmm. and we're coordinating upcoming sessions, training, and doing the HERA. Yeah. We've got that planned for our hazard identification.
And risk assessment.
Risk assessment, thank you. And so we're working, you know, I think we're going to accomplish a lot here now that we're getting up to speed, so thankful and just happy to let council know that you know, she's here and present the way that council was looking for, and yeah, that we're going to be getting to be in a much better shape to respond to emergencies thanks to Kelsey and Sean.
My plan is to be over here once a week if I can. Some weeks might be a couple days, and then you might not see me for a few weeks, kind of depends on what's going on in which municipality, but my plan is to try to be here at least once a week.
So this, the first step kind of now that you're in your new role will be the assessment kind of process for the, I guess, the three districts?
Yeah, so we'll work on the hazard risk identification after this the bylaw and the shared services comes to councils to be, you know, consideration to be approved.
Yeah.
So hopefully that will be in the upcoming weeks. It's yeah. The solicitor right now, so. So that'll be the first step, and then we'll work on getting all of our all hazard plan and those kind of plans together, as well as the risk identification.
Yeah. What do you kind of see? I know it's all brand new and yep. You're just in the role and everything. What do you kind of see as the timeline on where when we might get to having something in place for some of the bigger threats?
The bigger stuff. I don't want to give a direct timeline because some of the stuff is pretty big.
But just, you know, are you thinking 5 years out, 2 years?
Within the year kind of thing.
Yeah.
Within the fiscal year is the plan.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, thanks.
And these plans, they're living documents. They're constantly updated as a community grows or shrinks. Different hazards and things present themselves in the community. You're constantly updating your plans.
Yeah.
Try to do them at least biannually. Every 2 years should have your higher up updated. So it's current.
And I mean, and we have examples already of from other areas, jurisdictions and whatnot that we're working off. So it's not like we're creating something brand new.
Exactly. And I mean, it just, as Sean said, it's a living document. So like as industries come and leave from municipalities, those risks are going to change, right?
Right.
So that'll just be updated as things evolve.
Yeah. Good point.
And I just want to add to that, that we did have our Department Emergency Management Plan already before this, and we had several scenarios identified, but we're providing that information to Kelsey, and then we're going to be using that to build on. And then we are working through what our goals are for this year, so we'll be able to communicate that to council to be clear on what, how much training we're trying to get done this year, how many exercises we're going to try to do this year. So we're building our goals with a target to have those in place by approximately the end of June so that we have, you know, the rest of the year to make sure we're delivering on that. So that's, you know, something that's still underway and being worked on.
Yeah, one of the things the new REMO standards state, and this is a brand new standard. So we're giving municipalities and whatnot lots of leeway time and buffer time to kind of get their feet under them, is tabletop exercises. So each REMO by the standard should try to achieve 4 tabletop exercises a year. That doesn't have to be 4 in Sherbrooke. It could be 1 here, 1 Mulgrave, 1 right. Guysborough, whatever the case may be, but try to have at least 4 a year.
Yeah.
And then every 4 years, the goal is to have at least 1 full-scale real-time exercise where you're going to run everything in real time that over the course of 8 hours to have a full-scale exercise. So that's something to look forward to in the next few years that we're going to try to achieve in this area.
Right.
Or Guysborough, wherever the case may be.
So like with the documents for the like all hazards plan and stuff like that, like Guysborough had one, you guys had one, Mulgrave has one, so they kind of got to be combined. So it's one plan for the whole REMO. So because the risks here are very similar to Guysborough, but you guys are higher risk for safe flooding than Guysborough is, or they're a higher risk for wildfires. And, you know, there's some slight differences, but for the most part, they're very similar.
And maybe able to integrate resources and share.
Absolutely. Yep.
Yeah, that's what the shared services agreement is going to be, mutually agreement, shared service agreement, the all kinds of resource sharing.
It's a great thing.
And on the back end, on the provincial side, we aim to have agreements between REMOs. So if you need resources and equipment from, say, Antigonish or Petra County, we want to have those agreements already in place so that when those resources are needed, it's just a phone call away to get some stuff. Whether it's physical resources or manpower. One of the things we ran into with the Dalhousie wildfire that lasts 66 days, can't expect municipal staff to man that EOC for 66 days. The municipal business still has to go on and people still want to pay their bills and have other things that you need to do. And people simply need a break. So what we ended up having in these other areas was CAOs and counselors and EOC staff come from far away that were in and manning that EOC for that fire. And it worked very seamlessly once everybody kind of got to know each other and you were comfortable in their roles. But that's what we strive to achieve in this area too. It's a very small area, you're not a very big group, and you're going to get pretty burnt out in the first 5 to 7 days. You're going to need a break. So.
Yeah. One more question. Now that's all good stuff. I think forest fire is one of our biggest threats as well.
Absolutely. We've got a forest fire right now in Queens County.
Yeah, it dries up quick.
Really?
The question I have is, I think I've heard rumors of the province put an agreement in place to rent the 2 water bombers for the season. Do you know anything about that? Is that true?
Yeah, it's 4 water bombers. They're making their first drop probably as we speak in Queens County. They came from Forest Protection Limited in New Brunswick. They're not what was pictured over and over and over again by the provincial government. They pictured the big yellow planes, the big CL415s. That's not what they got. It's four single engine, single draw water bombers. Problem, not a problem with them. The disadvantage with them is that they have to land at an airstrip. They're not capable of scooping out of an ocean or a river or a lake. So they have to land, refuel, and go back to the fire.
How do you fill them up then?
Basically with a hose. So wherever their base is, they're based in Divert. That's where the four of them are. Mm-hmm. They have all of the equipment there, the fire retardant or water, whatever the situation calls for. They'll fill up there, go take their drops, then they'd have to go back. Now, this fire that's going on right now, as we speak in Queens County, is quite a few feet away.
Yeah.
So they're going to be able to make one drop, but all of their equipment is in Divert. Now, if that fire shows that it's going to be a multi-day incident, which hopefully it's not, but if it is, they will move all of that equipment to, say, Yarmouth. Uh-huh. So then they can just go to Yarmouth, land, refuel, and quickly be on the fire. So that stuff is able to be moved around. It'll take time.
Right.
But those four planes, in addition to our four helicopters, are quite a compliment to
what we had compared to
last year. Yeah.
Yeah. Good.
They're working as we speak on their first deployment.
So if there was something here, they would either be in Halifax or Port Oxford.
Yeah, if there was something here, Trenton, Port Oxford,
yeah.
Wherever the case may be, they'll be able to land and refuel. So, retirement or water, whatever the situation falls for.
Good, that's good to hear.
And those, that situation, like, if it's a fire that's, say, near a watershed for a community, they would probably not use fire retardant, right? So they're just going to use water there because they don't want to contaminate anything.
Yeah.
So every situation.
Ahead of time, probably some direction from our remote route.
It'd be the people on the ground would be letting everybody know what they have.
Right. Okay. Yeah. That's some insight. Thanks.
Yeah.
Perfect. Thank you guys very much. Which brings us to next is the staff report on municipal volunteer of the year selection. So, what?
Want me to speak to this?
I know what it is.
Oh, Sam.
We do it every year. Before you have the three nominees. I'm going to double check, make sure there's three.
There's three. There are three.
I think they're working on the electronics.
Perfect.
We're good. Okay. Three nominees. Be thrilled to death to read the qualifications, and then I will distribute the official nomination form or the official voting form. There's one for you. There's one for Deputy Warden and the Council Leader. And after we read the nominations, you make your selection, and we will have paper ballot election. Nominee number one, volunteer contributions. The individual has been involved with the St. Mary's Trail Association since 2024, participating in cleanup events and trail maintenance. Why the volunteer is exceptional. This individual is 10 years old, has been volunteering since the age of 8. And the nominee cares about building a trail for everyone to enjoy, takes pride in cleaning up the trail and picking up garbage and planting trees. Nominee number two, the individual has only been in the community about a year, has been a member of the Liscombe Volunteer Fire Department. Since the day they joined, this nominee has contributed countless hours working on the trucks, haul cleaning, tech support, along with anything and everything that must be done, even without asking. Why this volunteer is exceptional? The individual is always willing to help if anyone needs a helping hand within the community. Nominee number three. Everything that happens in the community, this individual almost always is a part of in some way. Why the volunteer is exceptional? The individual goes above and beyond their community and always pulls off a great job. They are always there when the community needs them. lasting impact in community building. The nominee has won multiple small business awards. They truly give their hearts and souls to the community. So our considerations are the nominee's contributions that should have made a clear and positive impact on individuals, groups, or the community. Commitment and dedication, the length and consistency of the volunteers' involvement, and have shown exceptional dedication going above and beyond expectations. And leadership takes initiative, leads programs or events, or inspires others to get involved in volunteerism. I think we have three excellent choices. I don't know who they are. And we should, you're waving your hands.
Nope, we can just pass them to me.
I haven't even voted yet.
As I say, are you not voting?
I was talking.
Leave it as well.
Definitely a secret ballot.
Oh, very secret.
Thrilling and unusual.
Do you do this for Christmas presents?
Of course.
With everything. Pain in the butt. What's taking so long?
I want to make sure the count is correct. And by secret ballot and majority, the volunteer of the year will be nominee number three, which I still don't know who it is, but I'm sure we'll find out.
Yep.
It's one of the best things we can do. It's fun.
Yeah.
All right, 10C, July and August, Council and Committee of the Whole dates. Mm-hmm. Do you want to speak to that?
Thank you, Warden. Sure. So the date that we normally have is the first Wednesday in the month, which happens to be Canada Day. So the proposal is to move that to the following Monday, which is July 6th, to just give a little bit of a space in between that and the next meeting, which would be on July 15th. So the proposal is that we ask for a motion of council to move the meeting from July 1st to July, to schedule the meeting, first meeting in July, first meeting committee of the whole on Monday, July 6th at 5 p.m.
I'll move to approve. Councilor O'Connell, second?
I'll second.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
July 4th, right?
6th. July 6th. And we'll get confirmation. Yes, and we'll then send out an invite. Yes. And in addition, so July 15th, nothing has to change with that. But the two meetings in August are canceled. So they're, but if we need them, then we can schedule some meetings whenever they are required for any kind of business that may require it. But at this point, we would propose to not proceed with any meetings in August as well.
Could I go back to the volunteers? Only because there was a recommendation there and we didn't really do that recommendation.
Yeah, I have to agree on August. Yeah, we'll go back.
Oh, we agree on August? Yeah, if there's no meetings in August, that's fine, but there will be.
Can I have a second on that definite response?
Yeah, second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Yes, we'll go back to the recommendation for the volunteer of the year. Sorry, I'm so happy. Council agrees to select number three as the municipal volunteer of the year. Deputy Warden Malloy.
Second.
It's Council Beaver. All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you, Warden.
Thank you for keeping me straight. 10D. The Shoppers Drug Mart. We had just been informed yesterday that the Shoppers will no longer be at the location where they are after June the 11th. as a council, I think we are all, we're disappointed in that decision. But as CEO has put out on social media today, we have been and are still working towards finding a resolution to bring a pharmacy to the municipality. I think there's a whole lot more we can say. It is a private business. We can't make them stay. We can't make them go, but we're going to do what we can to bring somebody in if possible. That's it.
Okay, so the announcement was put on social media today that the pharmacy is closing as of the 11th of June. Is there for continued service to our residents, is there a plan or is it, are they going to have to go to Annie Ganesh or, I'm sorry, I didn't read, I just got the news right now. So is there a plan for distributing drugs or is this going to be on, people are going to have to do this by themselves, just make arrangements on their own? Is it?
As it's news to everybody.
Yeah.
At this moment, I can say there is not a plan.
Okay.
But the staff here has taken it seriously and are looking for all avenues that we can do as a municipality without encroaching into private business.
Mm-hmm. And I believe the last time we lost the service because of the closure, we filled the gap with some wonderful work from the municipality and housing some of the, you know, prescription pickups and stuff here. So I'm hopeful that we can come up with something similar to fill the gap again with, to provide some kind of a service or something here for our citizen.
Is there anything the public can do as writing letters to, would it be to shoppers, would it be to,
well,
because I'm sure they will do something.
A decision passed down by their main office. And I guess if you're going to talk to somebody, you should talk to them. It was, you could get a hold of the local franchise owner, but again, he owns the franchise and not the buildings. So we're going to work on it.
Shoppers is not giving that as an option. They're closing. No. So there's no availability for us to do that. That was a different arrangement that was provided last year. But the municipality has been, since last year, providing them free space in the municipal parking lot for them to operate their business out of, which is a significant advantage. And they've had that time to hopefully find a solution, which unfortunately hasn't happened. And they have made the decision to close the facility and it's not being made available to transfer prescriptions to some location here. And they have no, the way that they've communicated it, it's not the way that it was last fall or last summer. And secondly, as you know, since last summer, we've been working to adjust policies so that we were able to put out the expression of interest that we did to allow for long-term pharmacy solution to be put in place. So that is the activity that the municipality has been working on diligently throughout the entire last year. And that expression of interest is open. It continues to be open. We are working through that transparent process now, and the dates are all publicized on our website, as well as on the provincial procurement website, and as well as on our Facebook page. And we've also sent that expression of interest out to any and all pharmacy operators that we're aware of, to any developers that we are aware of, to any developers that we're aware of that have worked in the region, to do everything that we can to ensure that long-term pharmacy solutions are being put in place. And we're very hopeful that that expression of interest will be successful. So that's being pursued, I believe.
Leslie, how much time's left in the expression of interest timeframe? And has anybody given interest yet officially?
So this is a public procurement process, so we can't reveal information about that, what's been responded to at this stage, but the timelines are all available, and I would refer people to those, but the final closing date is June 19th. So it's, and there are a number of deadlines in between now and then in terms of the inquiry deadline, and then the deadline for us to provide responses, and then the final deadline to provide submissions for the expression of interest is the 19th of June. And we also, I just should mention, have put out there the procurement at st-marys.ca is the email address for anyone who has any interest to even inquiries or to send in their submissions to provide those. And we'll be responding to those in a timely manner, but following proper procurement process, and that information will be shared with any and all interested parties.
Okay. Number 11, CAO report. You all had a chance to read it.
Mm-hmm.
Any questions on any of the sections that Leslie was input?
What?
And what is your one question?
It may be more, but I'll start with this. just a little bit of an update on the economic development director. What's going on there? If possible.
The posting remains open, and we're continuing to pursue filling that position. And in the meantime, we're proceeding with all the activities that that person would normally do, except for we're not proceeding with the overarching plan, because that was what we wanted to have that position in place for. So we're proceeding with the expression of interest. We're proceeding with the activities through clean. We're proceeding with the work that we're doing with any CBAs, for example, but we're holding out to start the work on the actual strategic plan, economic development plan, pending filling of that position. We're exploring options because it's been going on for some time now that the position is vacant, and looking at what potential other options there might be for fulfilling some of those duties in a different manner, because obviously, you know, it's not a sustainable solution the way we're proceeding at the moment, but I'm looking at what options there may be.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay. That brings us number 12, which is in-camera personnel matters. We're taking a motion to go in-camera for personnel matters.
I'll second.
Ashley Connell and Deputy Warden Malloy. It is 5:46, and we are going in-camera. On the motion of Deputy Warden Malloy, seconded by Council Connell, we're back in public session. It is 6:07 p.m. Councilor Beaver.
Motion. Council recommend approving the revised salary scales for the Director of Public Works and the lead hand as represented.
Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Deputy Warden Malloy, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
The motion is approved. And this being the end of the agenda, the meeting is adjourned at 6:08 p.m.